हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
okay, page 25 verses 35 to 42 the potency of the Narayana Kavacha shield. In verses 35 to 42, Vishwarupa informed King Indra about the transcendental potency of this protective covering by relating a story about a brahmana named Kaushika, who had given up his material body in yogic perfection after chanting the Narayan Kavacha prayers. One day, the king of Gandharva Loka, Chitrarata, was flying over the spot where the remains of this brahman's body were, and Chitrarata fell from the sky with great force. Only after following the instructions of the sages by transferring Kaushika's bones into the Saraswat River and bathing there could the king of Gandharva Loka return to his home. Thus establishing the power of the protective covering, Vishwarupa informed the demigods that they could again conquer the demons and dutifully resume their rightful posts. Right? So we see here is you have Vishwarupa as a Brahmin only, then he could be doing all this. Right, because of his nature of his family ties. So he can see beyond that just that, you know, what's supposed to be done. Right? So it's supposed to be that the demigods are managing the universe. That's straightforward. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't have family ties with the demons, so therefore he's affectionate towards them. That's what Brahma said. Right? Because he, not being political as such as a Brahmin, therefore he can see what should be done, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that you don't have the, you know, your affections. Does that make sense? Yeah. So on the Varna side, he's going to do his duties and protect the demigods very nicely. But in the ashram side, he's going to care for his family. Right? Indra, being a king, doesn't necessarily understand this point. Mm-hmm. Right? Because for them, it's much harder to separate these things. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if he's showing any affection towards the demons, then it will be in a political way rather than just for nourishment. Right? So in other words, Vishwarupa is doing for their benefit, not that they'll become more powerful than the demigods, just that, you know, they get that pious benefit. Yes?
It's the inherent nature of the Brahmins.
Yes, Brahmins can work whatever is supposed to be done.
They can if they're trained.
Yes, means if they're not trained, of course, means you have a wide range. But you see, as he's using Narayan Kavacha, he's basically transcendentally situated. While someone can be very material, you can't have a Karmakandiya Brahman who also can do everything just because it's supposed to. So it means, in other words, a Brahman by nature can just do what the Shastra says, even if it's not necessarily materially the best benefit for him in all aspects. Because he knows by following the Shastra, that's actually where you get your best benefit. Mm-hmm. Right? He's not looking as... In other words, the long term is looked at more importantly than the short term. Right? While the Kshatriyas tend to look at the short term, and then from there into the long term. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is Varna higher than ashram? In that sense?
It's just that... No, because ashram is the spiritual point. Right. Yeah. But the point is that what kind of modes you're working with. Mm-hmm. In other words, devotion, the ashram side is the brahminical side. But depending on what modes you're working with, then that will be manifest to a particular degree. right?
Yeah.
So, in other words, if you're working with goodness, it'll manifest one way, goodness and passion another way, goodness, passion and ignorance another way, ignorance different than again.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? But the point is because of the power of devotional service, even if one has by varna these other modes that one works with, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that you have to be controlled by them. So for Vaishnavs, they may be in the position of a Shudra, but it doesn't matter to them because they will function on the Brahminical platform. But the duties they will perform will be those of their particular nature. But their viewpoint of it will be what's pleasing to Krishna. Right? So in other words, the glorious level, mm-hmm. the lowest would be, this is what Shastra says, this is what we do, whether it's good for me or not, this yeah. is what we do.
Yeah.
Right? So that would be what you'd say is a fully pious person. Right? But higher than that is what's good for transcendence.
Yeah.
Right? But then the highest will be what's pleasing to Krishna.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So, because in all these things, it's one doesn't stand alone. Does that make sense?
So we may find situations where one's duty according to varna and one's duty according to one's family situation or guru or something kind of get in the way of each other.
It's always that, because the material world's a place of duality, so it has to do that. You know what I'm saying? If it doesn't do that, then you should check where you are. Pinch yourself,
you
see if
really
you're asleep. you know, like that. You know,
something's coming.
Yeah, go up to the trees and ask for something and see what you get.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Like a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, and if you get one, then you know, okay, then... Yeah, you understand? That's the whole point, is that material world's meant like that.
Yeah.
And here it gives trouble. But in the spiritual world, that seeming, contradiction actually creates the rasa. Yes?
I just wanted to point out in Bhagavad Gita in the first chapter, there's one verse that goes, Bhijma Drona Pramukata, that Krishna takes Arjuna before Bhijma and Drona. So Drona represents the varna side and Bhijma represents the family side. So he's testing his attachments right there.
Oh.
And here's your choice.
Okay.
Are you attached to your family or your duty, or are you attached to my order?
Okay. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. So this is. So you have to put all these and you see Krishna tests and then with Ashwatthama, he tests again. You know. So that's the whole thing, is putting all that together. We want it to be very straightforward and all this, but that's not actually how the world works. So you see this system where you have the little boxes with little arrows and everything, you know, very clean and what would you say?
PowerPointy.
Yeah, PowerPointy, or, you know, that simplicity of sterileness.
Yes.
You know, it works very well on one level if you're applying it just to economics, to make the money. But as far as your personal life, everybody else's personal life that's involved, it does zero for that. In fact, it generally militates against it.
Yes.
But the point is, a sense, it's looked at, and if you have money, everything else is available. That's the idea. If I have money, everything's available. Yes, it's available, but you actually have to make the effort. Mm-hmm. Like, you have money, you could buy anything, but if you don't go to the shop, pick it out, and go through the process, you don't have it. Mm-hmm. But there's the idea, just having the money, automatically I have all the benefits. So then this is the weakness, that it's thought that this is so. So therefore, in the modern context, it's thought to actually be a managerial system. No, it's how to manage to make profit. It's not how to manage human society. That's the weakness of it. That's why basically most all of the modern success, you know, formulas may be great for making some money, but as far as how you say?
What, the sacrificing?
Yeah, it doesn't there. You know, what is it? You know, because it's not on any level of depth. So, you know, it got you money, but it didn't further you as a person.
There's no self-realization.
Yeah, there's no self-realization. There's not even any just down home, just niceness with family and friends. Because you have to sacrifice all that too. You know, in other words, to make a certain amount of money, you know, like we were saying, what's a guy who lives in Texas, you know, one of the top five richest. Warren Buffett. At 6 o'clock, he turns off his phone. You know, until he comes back to the office the next day, you cannot get him. Now, if he left his phone on, surely he could make a few more, you know, few more millions. But he values his life, so he doesn't.
That's why he hasn't burned out.
Yeah. So, in other words, how much money he gets, you know, during office time, that's how much he's going to be satisfied with. Right. So, therefore, by controlling the senses, controlling the greed, you know, that wanting to know, maybe, possibly, all that he just controls, and therefore, then he goes home and he sits in his house with his family.
Yeah. In a small house, and he drives like a 1988 Chrysler or something.
Yeah.
And he's not giving any of his money to his kids.
Oh, really?
Nothing.
Oh, because they're not.
Because he wants them to make their own way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's maybe because he still has money.
Huh?
Maybe that's why he still has
money. Yeah. So it's just one of those. If you follow what the Vedas say, it works. Here's a man who's following what is being said about controlling the senses and focusing and what is the higher values, why you're having money, and it works. Well, you have others who do all the other things. They get money, but then how long does that last for them as a person? You know, so that's the whole thing. That's what Brahminical culture is about. It's about doing what's right, because in the long run, that will always work. Is that something? You know, it doesn't mean it's like the, you know, your Hollywood American, you know, truth and say everything and, you know, oh, they didn't tell me this and so therefore, you know, the relationship's bad or, you know, it's a little bit more deep than that, you know, because, you know, we have more than 2 hours to work out our whole life.
Yeah. That's a long movie.
Sorry. Hour and a half?
Yeah, hour 25.
So you're not one of these ones for the 3-hour movies.
No. Usually I'm more like 10 minutes of it and then I got it figured out and I can go do something else.
Okay. So you wouldn't be into one of these 6-hour. I think there's one that's like, I'm not sure what it was. I think he placed his camera, did 24 hours on the Eiffel Tower or something.
Yeah, I know. Andy Warhol did like 13 hours of a guy sleeping, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Snoring.
Yeah.
So they're out there.
Yeah, without editing. Right?
Yeah.
I say definitely you're not going for that one. Okay.
So. How many, oh.
Yes. Let's never mind. Yes, I think we've traversed far enough on that road. So. Okay, so this is an important aspect. That's why Brahma recommended him, but that's why he told, because in other words, the demigods would be benefited. Brahma's for the demigods, you know, but at the same time, you know, the demons have their position and they have their place because they're also part of the universe. You know, as long as they stay below Bhumandala, everything's cool, right? Like that. So Vishwarup will take care that the demigods are put back in place, universal order will go in, but at the same time he'll also see that the demons are nourished and they're comfortable in their position on their planetary systems. So he says, you know, as long as he can tolerate that, then it'll work out. But we see he doesn't tolerate that, and he gets all kinds of problems for not tolerating that. Yeah. Okay. Vishrup continued, O Indra, the mystic armor related to Lord Narayana has been described by me to you. By putting on this protective covering, you will certainly be able to conquer the leaders of the demons. If one employs this armor, whomever he sees with his eyes or touches with his feet is immediately freed from all the above dangers. This prayer, Narayana Kavacha, constitutes subtle knowledge transcendently connected with Narayana. One who employs this prayer is never disturbed or put in danger by the government, by plunderers, by evil demons, or by any type of disease. O King of Heaven, a Brahmana. So it protects. Now, what are you? What is happening here? You're simply connecting all these things to the Lord. But it's not about the Lord as Bhagavan. It's about him as God. Mm-hmm. Right? He's the controller of all these different aspects. So just by connecting on this level, how much benefit is gained? Mm-hmm. Yes.
This can we say it's connecting to the universal form?
Yes. Yes, universal Brahman form. Or, yes, Brahman, Paramatma. That means, in other words, when we talk about God, we're always talking about these two. Mm-hmm. You know, all-knowing, all-pervading. You know, that means Paramatma and Brahman. So that aspect, it's his potencies, he's controlling everything. He creates, he maintains, he destroys. So just by connecting to this level, then so much benefit is gotten. You know, everything works perfectly. Right? But there's a further taste in Bhagavan, which then makes this not, you know, that special. Right? That's what we'll see later. So we're seeing just by connecting here how much one is gained. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yes.
Can we say that this particular kavacha is possible to go further, or it was just supposed to be like that?
People are putting it on because of this. If they want to go further, they'll generally just remember the Lord straight and not like this. So in other words, we're connecting everything in our, you know, the body, the mind, the senses, and that to the Lord, but through the medium of what we're doing with the senses, rather than we're connecting to the Lord and then engaging the senses in His service. Right? You understand? Even though the two look the same, and basically, you know, the method's the same, the results you'll get are the same, the taste will be different. One will be in that great affection, the other one will be, you know, in proper transcendental situation, accepting the position of the Lord and things like that. Does that make sense? Or at least on you know, the best you can get in the material piety. Does that make sense?
But it would be devotional still?
Yes, it's devotional.
Like the first one? Kanista?
Yes. Kanista, even, yes, it's basically you say Kanista. And then you have the other one we're saying, that's the Uttama platform. Madhyama will be in between, depending upon where they've advanced and where they're slow. It'll have the flavor of both. Does that make sense? So in other words, a nicely situated Madhyama, it's comfortable to use this conditioning. Right? But it's not that it's about the conditioning. Well, for the neophyte tends to, it's about the conditioning. You know, it's about my money, or it's about my house, or about my family. You know, but I'm connecting it to the Lord. So therefore, it's devotional. Does that make sense? It situates one transcendentally. But the flavor will be different than if you start with the Lord, and then I'm in this situation, you know, of family life. Therefore, I'm engaging the family, my money, facility in the Lord's service. There's a difference in flavor. You know, does that make sense? Let's say you... Well, let us say it's a formal situation, and in this formal situation, we're meeting people, you know, influential people or people we're supposed to meet. And so meeting them, there's a process of interaction. We're going through that, and, you know, we're doing it all properly. In the same environment, you know, that same formal environment, we meet somebody who's, you know, a good friend that we haven't seen for some time. Because it's a formal environment, we'll use the same process. But the flavor of it will be very different than meeting, you know, acquaintances or just people we don't even know, but we're supposed to know. Does that make sense? That's what we're talking about here. So the Bhagavan platform means you're getting that taste or that personal, even though the forms that you're using are the same. We take it, oh, no, it's different, because when you meet the friend, you know, this, that, you shock, you jive, you whack them on the back, you know, like things like that. But we're in the material world. So therefore, there's formulas that we follow. Does that make sense? So it doesn't change. So what we would be doing if we're on the Uttama platform, what we were doing on the Kanista platform is the same thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difference, is that the flavor is different. That's what's being pointed out. The flavor is different. So you're doing like the yogis and living off of air. Okay. Remember when New York, how you say, in the dark ages when New York sold 55th Street and moved, I think, to 7th Avenue, they had a building that had no windows. And somebody came to visit Achyutananda, who was staying there. You know, somebody of some stature. And when they came into the room, he said, "I hope you brought your own air." Because there was no windows, so you would have to think so.
Like that. I think in Tokyo they have vending machines where you can buy fresh air.
Fresh air, yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I was just remarking this theme of Potana. The beginning of Sajamil is very inadvertent kind of protection he receives for the holy name.
Yes.
Now it's very conscious chanting in the Ryan Kovacha.
Yes.
And then seven canto is just pure meditation, Kovatmara from the Lord. So that Potana aspect is that.
Yes.
It's just the graduation.
Yes. So, yes. Because the Lord, because we saw before is that, you know, on this point, Ajamil, he's chanted the name. His sins are gone. He's protected by the Lord and everything. And he hasn't really done much. Here, then, they're making that endeavor to connect everything to the Lord. So then even greater, you know, benefit they're getting. But then if it's connected to the Lord out of that affection, that's the thing. So when we say mixed devotional service, it's not what we're doing. We always take it as what we're doing. In other words, advanced devotional service, what you do is different than if you're, you know, just beginning a devotional service. But it's not. It's actually, the formula is the same. Haridas Thakur sitting down with his beads chanting japa. He actually, you know, has his fingers on the beads and chants one mantra on one bead, then moves to the next bead. Right? Does that make sense? It's not that he's like doing an iris jig on the beads with his fingers there or something. Does that make sense? You know, he's doing the same thing. Right? So, therefore, when we come back to it, it's how do you say? It, so the mix is actually, what is our goal? Mm-hmm. Right? The mix is, of course, we have the simple form of, is it karma, jnana, or bhakti? Right? But if we get down to the essence of it, what makes karma and jnana? And what makes bhakti? What's the basis of bhakti? What's the ultimate goal of bhakti?
Krishna's pleasure.
Krishna's pleasure, right? And that's based on what?
Selfless service.
Selfless service. So, generally when we say someone's doing selfless service, what is another term that we use? No, it's one of these, depending upon the circle you're in, it's one of these four-letter words you can say or not say.
Rog.
Huh? Rog. It's only three. That's it. That's attachment. But what is that form of attachment? What do we always generally refer to? We're trying to develop
love.
You understand? So that's the thing. It's based on love. That's the ultimate point. All these other things are secondary aspects within transcendence. But now if it's not love, then what is it?
Rainbows.
Yes. Then it's lust. You understand? That's the thing. Karma and jnana are based on lust. Devotion is based on love. You understand? So actually what's happening here, mixed devotional service means there's lust and love.
Well, lust has different gradations too. There's like duty, there's fear, and there's desire. It's not so clean cut.
That's there, but the point is it's still on that. So even we're following duty, it's still what benefit I'll get from the duty. Either I'll get material facility or I'll get liberated. Mm-hmm. So it's still the lust of the living entity. Though it's a higher grade lust. So that's the thing is, by pointing that out, is that these are, how do you say, would be gradations we would make of a piety. You know, within lust, you know, this is a very nice way to define. Within lust, we would call the person who's doing things out of duty the highest. Someone who's doing it out of fear, then, you know, that's standard. You know, he's a God-fearing gentleman, you know, like that kind of thing. And then doing out of desire, we'll consider that the lowest, you know, unless you're a bohemian, and then that's the pinnacle of, you know, creation. Right? Does that make sense?
Is it that sometimes we hear that fear is the lowest and then gain is higher?
On one sense there is, but on the other is that you're doing it because you're supposed to. Here we're taking it that desire means you're not following the system.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah. If you're following the system, sure, then that will be higher. So it just depends upon how you you apply it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Because, you know, you're making these three main categories, but there's so many subsections
exactly.
of it. Because, you know, desire and fear have to, there's a Sunday, you know, there's a Sunday between all of them. So
yes.
It's how you put it together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
sense.
Look at it
yes, different angles. That's the thing. But the point is here is that in that case, if you're looking at it from that way, then you're looking at it that duty is goodness, desire is passion, fear is ignorance.
Yes.
But if it's theistic fear, that will be higher than just fear of the body and the
yes.
bodily concept
yes.
and all that. Right? Does that make sense? And if it's desire theistic, then that would be higher than desire that's atheistic. So the whole point is the theism is actually what makes the difference. So that means if theism is the difference, what's the essence of theism is the affection for the Lord. Like that. Rather than just business that, okay, I have desires to fulfill and I'll, you know, work within God's parameters to get it. So that's what we're meaning, is that underlying why we're doing is lust.
Yeah.
But because of contact with the chit potency, therefore the determination of the devotee is love.
Yes.
So lust is only just habit.
Yes.
That's why Krishna is saying with Ajamil and these, there, somebody makes some problem, that's not the big deal, because his goal is love. And so there's some slips on the way, it happens, right? But if we take it on the material, that no, it's all about what you're doing. It's all about the secondary. So if there's any fault in the secondary, then you're out. That's the smartas. Smarta, they make one syllable mistake, the whole thing's finished. And the fun part here is that much of this is being spoken by those who are liberal. They claim to be liberal, but they're smartest.
So the Westerners are the only ones who can fall on both sides at the same time.
It depends upon who it is.
Mm.
If their friend has done, or someone they're favorable to, has done the same thing, they'll look up the glass is half full.
Yeah.
And if it's someone that they aren't favorable, is the glass is half empty.
Totally, true.
In fact, the glass is broken.
Yeah, see, that's it. Can never fill it again.
No, finished.
Yeah, so this is what Prabhupada's talking about, is you can't trust this mentality. You can't base anything on this mentality, because it has no substance. It's whimsical. It'll move at any moment. The same person that you're favorable towards, just something can happen, even that's not even just your perception of it, you know, was not good, even though their intent was, and it all changes. So that's why, unless it's theistic, until you come to the platform of duty, it's not stable. That's why then on the material platform, fear and desire aren't recommended as methodologies. Duty is the one, because that's stable. You'll follow the Shastra.
Can we say the duty is the mix where the love has taken prominence over the lust?
You could say, but or at least there's a control of the lust that you're willing to, how you say, bring your lust in line with the Lord.
Yes.
Right? That's the whole point. If that's done, then it becomes what we call pious. So it's uplifted. Therefore, you get demigods. Demigods are such devotees. But we're talking about pure devotion, that we can go beyond that. So we see how pure devotion works here, but at the same time, we also see what happens if you don't apply pure devotion, like Indra would. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that that's why it seems so, much of the time, devotional service, there's an element that's so, unclear, is because it's not based on anything material. Krishna has to reveal it. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that comes out during the Vritrasura pastime, because Indra is so attached to preserving his body and his kingdom, and then Vritrasura doesn't care a thing about preservation. He's asking Indra to kill him.
Yeah, because then he can go back to Godhead. Yeah. And, but why also? It's not even just, because otherwise one can say, well, he wants liberation and karma. So, you know, okay, we take renunciation to be that touch higher, but it's not really that. But actually, it's the point is that, because it's Vishnu's arrangement. Vishnu's arrangement, he'll be killed by the thunderbolt. So he wants, you know, the Lord's order to be carried out. Right? Otherwise, he could have, you know, swallowed Indra, literally.
Yeah.
You know.
But he wins by not doing it.
Yeah. But even when he's attacked, Indra, because of his lack of faith, because he's always used his club and this thunderbolt's new, so he attacks with the club against the order of Vishnu. So Vritrasura repels that. But then, you know, he tells them, you know, what kind of devotee are you? You know, Vishnu said, this is what's going to happen. That's what you have to do. Now pick up the thunderbolt and fight.
Yeah.
So he has to actually inspire
him.
Like that. So his devotional service is being inspired by, you know, one of the biggest demons they've ever bumped into.
Motivational speaker.
Yes. This is old. This is not new stuff. You know? So the whole idea is that in we understand the difference between the primary and secondary, and we understand the qualities of the levels of the primary and secondary. So we have to know that the ultimate of the primary is that love for Krishna, because that's what makes the sthayi bhava, is that love, right?
Yeah.
Then there'll be a particular attraction. Right? Then there'll be particular activities and responses and all these different things. So those are the secondary of that ultimate. Right? So we have to know it's the love. Otherwise it's thought, like the Sahajiyas, it's thought that no, talking certain things and rolling on the ground and all that, that's the highest. So these are all secondary aspects. Right? The highest is that love for Krishna.
It's the Anubhavas.
Yes.
Following.
Yes.
They follow.
So that's the whole thing. In the material world also, there's a higher principle. That's what it's for. You know? Yes. No. Yeah. Okay. So that's what we're trying to get. So we see is here is that the subtle aspects and all that, just by that you're connecting to the Lord and so much benefit is gained. Great benefit is there. So we're saying this is like, you know, unlimited compared to the material. Because the material, there is at every moment, there's danger. Here one's protected from that danger. But the point is the taste is even higher if it's just being done to please the Lord. Right? They're doing because they're demigods, it's their business to control and manage the universe. But it's not that they don't like controlling and managing the universe. Right, so that's much of their inspiration. So they'll have that aspect. There'll be duty, but there'll be passion also. Right, hence the Kshatriya position. So, yes.
The position of Lord Shiva in this context, he is tainted by the mode of ignorance.
That means he works with the mode of ignorance. That's why then he'll be sometimes called Tamasi. Right, but it's not that he's necessarily controlled by, but he actually deals with.
So he's not in that category, all the other demigods.
No, he's beyond. He's transcendental, Narad Muni, the four Kumaras. That's why you so many times, I think it's coming along. There'll be a time when they're sitting under Lord Shiva's banyan tree, 600 miles tall, and they're just sitting and discussing transcendental stuff, right? Because... It's like you have the tree. Now, if it's 600
how you say, miles high, or is it yojanas? I think it's yojanas. It's probably yojanas. Right? Otherwise, yeah. It's quite wide also, right? You know, the trees tend to be quite wide. So that means most people wouldn't be under the tree. They'd be somewhere else, right? And then if you want to visit Shiva, you have to come to that tree because he's sitting under that tree. That means you have to walk, you know, probably some, you know, hundreds and hundreds of yojanas to get to where he is, right? Therefore, basically, you can guarantee is that Lord Shiva, Narad Muni, and the four Kumaras can sit there peacefully, discuss transcendental subject matter, and not be disturbed by anybody, because how many people are going to actually make the effort to walk all the way over there?
You know, yeah.
So they're good. So they're transcendental. But when it comes to, because he deals with the destruction of the universe, therefore using the mode of ignorance, then he destroys.
Some of his associates are.
His associates, that's another thing. That's because they're so wild that no one will take care of them. Because they're part of Krishna's creation, they should all be taken care of. Right? Because they're all praja. Someone has to take care. So therefore, Krishna in the form of Shiva, he takes care of all the, you know, the wild guys. That's why you see is that the devotees, they move with all range. I think there was one time, it may have been San Francisco Rath Yatra or something like that, that at one point there was, you know, Hell's Angels, they liked the devotees, so they would go to the program and make sure that they would do, you know, security, make sure no one would make any trouble, you know, like that. So, you know, so that you have one end like this, and then the other end you have, you know, all the, you know, whoever it is on your, whose society you considered more elevated, like that. So that's the whole point, is that Krishna consciousness, everybody is involved. So for Krishna, everybody, he's taking care of everybody. Right? It's just a matter of, you know, what position someone's in. Just like for the parent, they take care of the child when they're happy, they take care of when they're sad, they take care of when they're sick. So Krishna does the same thing. So. Okay. O King of Heaven, a Brahmana named Kaushika formerly used this armor when he purposely gave up his body in the desert by mystic power. Surrounded by many beautiful women, Chitrarata, the king of Gandharva Loka, was once passing in his airplane over the Brahmana's body at the spot where the Brahmana had died. Suddenly, Chitrarata was forced to fall from the sky head first with his airplane. Struck with wonder, he was ordered by the great sages, named the Valakilias, to throw the Brahmana's bones in the nearby river Saraswati. He had to do this and bathe in the river before returning to his own abode.
The original plane crashed and he didn't die?
Yes. 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 See, sir. Even plane crashes are old.
Yes.
Yes. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear Maharaj Prickett, one who employs this armor or hears about it with faith and veneration, when afraid because of any conditions in the material world, is immediately freed from all dangers and is worshipped by all living entities. King Indra, who performed 100 sacrifices, received this prayer of protection from Vishwaroop. After conquering the demons, he enjoyed all the opulences of the three worlds." Srila Prabhupada comments, "This mystical mantric armor, given by Vishwaroop to Indra, the king of heaven, acted powerfully, with the effect that Indra was able to conquer the Asuras and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds without impediments. In this regard, Madhvacharya points out, Vidya karmani cha sada guru prapta phala prada anyata naiva phaladha prasannokta phala prada. One must receive all kinds of mantras from a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, the mantras will not be fruitful. This is also indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya uparekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinah. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth." Right? So then we see the other step is he's received from the devotee. That's why it's working. That's why it has the potency, because it's Narayana Kavacha. So he's not giving it to him as some Karmakandi thing. Mm-hmm. He's giving it to him as actually the armor of Krishna. So he's a devotee. That's the whole point. So we also see, you know, how you say, Ajamil, he's received, you know, the name from Narad Muni, Dhruva Maharaj, Pallad Maharaj, you know, so this whole element of that, it's all about the Lord. That's the purpose of everything. That's the only goal to everything. That's the end in, you know, the end point in all discussions. But at the same time, is how do we know that? Through the Guru. How do we approach that? Through the Guru.
So Guru gives Krishna and Krishna gives Guru.
Yes. It's actually Krishna gives Guru, yeah, then Guru then gives Guru. Krishna. Okay. If your interest is sincere, Krishna will give Guru. And then by following Guru, then you'll get Krishna. So it's not that following you get, it's that by following that pleases Krishna you get. That's the whole point. So it's still Krishna's pleasure, but you get Krishna's pleasure through Guru. That's why so much focus is put on that. Right? And in this case, better more than less. You know? You know, it's like the what do you call it? That dichotomy for the atheist, you know, is that, okay, technically if you look at it logically, there's a 50-50% chance of there being God or not, if you're looking by logistics. So if there is God and you believed him in, then great, you know. And if there's not a God and he's not there, then what's the problem? Because there's not going to be any problem anyway, but you believed. Now, if you don't believe in God and he's there, you got a problem.
Yes.
You know, and if he's not there, that. But of all of them, you see, is that not believing actually gives the one result that's a problem. Right? It doesn't give any benefit, but it'll give a problem. The other one won't give any problem, but will give benefit.
Pascal's wager.
That's Pascal's wager. Okay.
For somebody else came up with it before Pascal.
Okay, that's Pascal's wager. Okay, so here's Pascal's wager. So the whole point is that he's you've gained it from the Guru. So if you properly respect and worship Guru, then things will work out. But if we use this modern context where we're trying to, you know, be cool and everything, so we're not too, you know, overly doing anything, you know, except for our own sense gratification. So that, you know, then the problem is then. What if we're wrong? What if it actually is that Krishna is only pleased when you please Guru? And then we've relegated the Guru to a how you say? Relative position. You know, that, you know, it's based on how much we appreciate. We like, then it's bigger, we don't like, it's not. So then it won't work. So these things have to be given up. We have to have that. That's why it says if you hear all this with faith, then it works. That's the real point. But we'll take as no, it's a certain social etiquettes and mechanics. That's what makes the whole thing. Bhakti will be better when we make the society very sophisticated and all these kind of things. But then the problem is that's not what Krishna says. And since he's the one we have to please, it's not going to work. And Krishna makes it very clear. So he doesn't accept this. Like that. We may accept it, but, you know, then it comes down to who are we.
We can see in history that he doesn't accept it.
Yes. You know, so that's the problem with Vox Populi. Vox Populi is all about the we. But the point is since everybody's within Krishna, he's actually the we.
We are the world.
Yes. Well, yeah, technically he is the world. Yeah, yeah, but so. Yeah. Okay. All mantras should be received through the authorized guru, and the disciple must satisfy the guru in all respects after surrendering at his lotus feet. In the Padma Purana, it is also said, Sampradaya vihina ye mantras te nishvala mata. There are four sampradayas, or disciplic successions, namely the Brahma Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, the Sri Sampradaya, and the Kumara Sampradaya. If one wants to advance in spiritual power, one must receive his mantras from one of these bona fide sampradayas. Otherwise, he will never successfully advance in spiritual life. So that's the point. We receive the mantra, but it doesn't mean you just got it. You also practice it according to what's there. Because, right? It's not that he just got the Narayana Kavacha. He has to use it.
Yes.
You get what's bona fide, but you use it in the what's the bona fide way. So that all gets Krishna. One of the more popular pages.
Yes.
It only has half a sentence on it. Like that. Now that's good.
For us, it's good. I think for the guy who prints it and has to pay for it, maybe.
That's there.
You guys
if you want, he can print them all like that. If you want, you know. Wow, look at this study guide. Like that.
We moved through 100 pages.
Yeah, I tell you, there was this one book we had. I think it was a math book. No, it was either math or grammar. I think it was grammar. I think it was English grammar and stuff. Yeah, and it was kind of one of these cut long. Mm-hmm. But not so high, mm-hmm. And it was divided into six sections. You know, that means the book wasn't cut, but you'd have one dark, one light, dark, light, dark, light, like that. And the system is you would go through, let's say, the top section of each page all the way to the end of the book. So you'd go through the book 1/6 quicker. You know, so you really feel, yeah, you're really moving through, you know, so you could do many pages in a day.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the end, you go back to the second line and then do all the way to the end. So it was just a trick to get the kids to feel things are happening.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. Wow. We did 73 pages today.
Some people will get inspired.
Yeah. Yes.
But then when we finish, we just have to go back.
Go back, yeah.
Start over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you only need one study guide.
That's true.
Okay. Important verse. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.8.30. Sarva padbhyo harir nama rupa yana yudhanina budhindriya mana prana pantu parashada bhushana. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead's holy names, his transcendental forms, his carriers, and all the weapons decorating him as personal associates protect our intelligence, senses, mind, life, airs from all dangers. Right? So it's the real danger is to forget Krishna. Right? And so that's why we arrange the situations. Prabhupada's mentioning is that we arrange things so that we don't forget Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? The person is always thinking about household life. So, is he thinking of Krishna? No. So, therefore, one gets married, then one's in that position, now one can think of Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? One is always worrying about money, so you get some money. Then you can think about Krishna. So the idea is whatever situation allows you to think about Krishna, that's what we do, but it's recommended. Because the point is that we want opulence. Opulence belongs to Krishna. Therefore, without pleasing Krishna, you're not going to get. Right? So that's the system. That's what we're doing. Actually, just like we were saying, is that under we say karma, jnana, and bhakti, but underlying is whether it's lust or love. What is your ultimate goal? That's the, you understand? So in the same way is that is remembering, always remembering Krishna, not forgetting. So we make a situation where we remember and don't forget. Right? So therefore, we keep it as simple as necessary. Right? So that simplicity and that comfort, that is what we're combining. Right? It's comfortable enough we're not distracted, and it's simple enough we're not distracted. Right? Because if it gets too complicated, we get distracted. If it becomes too austere, we become distracted. Does that make sense? That's what we do. We make that balance. That's what we're trying to do. You understand? Because otherwise, oh, then we can do anything. No. Oh, then we do nothing. No. Right? So that's always the thing. We always have to do this all or nothing. Right? But the point is you have how much you require, but not more than you require. Right? Always remember, never forget. Right?
So the journalist who asked Rockefeller, how much money do you need anyway? He said, just a little more.
Just a little more. Yeah, only a little.
I think he was even on his deathbed.
On his deathbed, yeah. Okay. Okay, so does that make sense? So in other words, we're having to distinguish between what is the qualities of these secondary points. We also then have to come to the point of being comfortable with, you know, difference between secondary and primary. Right? And then we have to see is actually what the primary is about. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, there's the obvious things, then there's these subtle aspects. In general dealings, discussions, and that, it'll always be about the obvious. But the underlying why we do anything is because of the subtle. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, chapter 9. Appearance of the demon Vritrasura. Pratigya. Sakama devotees immediately pray to the Lord as soon as they are in difficulty, but they are regarded as pious because they consider themselves fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Right? So it's sakam, so it's a weakness, but at the same time, is they're considered pious because they're fully dependent on the Lord. That's why even when we have any material desire, we connect that to the Lord. So if we're doing that with everything, we'll find we advance some areas, then we're not, having a material desire, it goes away by that practice, and then we're able to just serve the Lord there. But other areas, they'll take a little longer. You know, how much more do you need to become Krishna conscious? Just a little more. Yeah. Okay, the particular of this chapter is taken from Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 40, and is further elaborated in the purport to verse 42. A pure devotee is aware that since nothing is unknown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he need not be informed of a devotee's conveniences. And inconveniences. A pure devotee knows that there is no need to ask the absolute truth for any material necessities. Therefore, while informing the Supreme Lord about their desires and being attacked by Vritrasura, the demigods apologize for offering prayers for their safety. He already knows everything. So then it's a matter of relationship. Chapter 9 summarizes questions and answers. The demigods ask the Supreme Lord questions 6.12 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question 6.12, 6.9.35. These are our inquiries. The ordinary conditioned soul is subject to the material laws, and he thus receives the fruits of his actions. Does your lordship, like an ordinary human being, exist within this material world in a body produced by the material modes? Do you enjoy or suffer the good or bad results of actions under the influence of time, past work, and so forth? Or, on the contrary, are you present here only as a neutral witness who is self-sufficient, free from all material desires, and always full of spiritual potency? We certainly cannot understand your actual position. Why can't you understand? Right? What's the key point here? Just in their question. How is their question formulated?
Because we are under the modes of nectar.
They're under the modes. But what's the quality of this question? Sorry?
Their safety is being checked.
No, the safety is there. That's why they're going to ask the question. But what's the nature of the question? It just means the grammatical or the literary structure of this question. Right? It's connected with the modes of nature. What mode would make this question? Why?
Because they're still thinking that the Lord is really sin.
Yeah, they can't tell the difference. That's why Krishna says, is someone with material desire can't understand him. Because in passion, that means you can't understand. That's the problem. The modern society thinks, no, they understand everything. But it's constantly changing. So what are they understanding? That's Maya. Right? There's a little awakening by passion instead of ignorance. So therefore, those who are in ignorance, those in passion, consider themselves unlimitedly superior. But the problem is they can't see that they're not that they can't see the Lord. They can't see that passion means I don't know. Right? So either it's in goodness where I know, or in ignorance where I just don't care, you know, or I don't even know that I should care, you know, more specifically.
Yeah.
Right? You know, just like animals, they don't know. You know, they don't know that when you eat, you should keep your mouth closed, you know, and stuff like that. You know, don't spill crumbs all over the place. And, you know, they don't worry about that. Yeah. So you know, they don't afterwards take the, you know, the napkin and very nicely dab their mouth. They just take their, you know, monstrously long tongue and just wipe their face off.
Yes.
You know, so you know, so they're good. Yes.
You know that joke, Marge, that says, "What's the difference between ignorance and apathy?" I don't know, and I don't care.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Yes. So that is that makes sense. So therefore, the demigods, they're in passion. There's enough goodness to get them that they perform their duties to get them, they get to the spirit. But there's desire there. That's why they're neophytes. Right? And so what's the fullest manifestation of this passion and goodness? Right? It'll be the Kshatriya culture. Therefore, the demigods, as a prominence, as the administrators of the universe, are Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas require Brahmins, so there's Brahmins involved also. Right? Does that make sense? Right? And you need money, so there's Kuvera. You know, the bank of the universe. Is that?
The original Rockefeller.
Yeah, the original. Yes.
Universal Reserve.
Yes.
Instead of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, no, this is the Universal Reserve, yes. But there, everything's in gold. No paper, no flat money.
No numbers on the screen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you see here? So because of, and so therefore then they're, because of this, they're motivated by this, but there's devotion. So they have that devotion, they have the faith in the Lord, because they have faith that if they go to the Lord, everything will be solved. But still the inspiration to go to the Lord is that passion. But because they're going to the Lord, that passion will be purified. That will bring him to the higher platform. Does that make sense? So that's what we're doing. We're taking our desires, approaching the Lord. But if we keep doing that consistently, then we will see, we'll get purified, those things will go away. Yeah. Although these questions are rhetorical in nature, their answers are given both in the verses and in Srila Prabhupada's purport. Because they've asked, you know, are you this or are you that? You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like that. The questions are answered by the demigods themselves in the next few verses, and also partially in the verse before this one, and are expanded upon in Srila Prabhupada's purports. The other rhetorical questions asked in this chapter do not fall under this study. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the ninth chapter, Indra kills Vishwarup. Tvashta produces Vritrasura. And the Lord, after being praised by the Devatas, instructs them how to obtain the thunderbolt. As described in this chapter, Indra, the king of heaven, killed Vishwarup, and therefore Vishwarup's father performed a yajna to kill Indra. When Vritrasura appeared from that yajna, the demigods in fear sought shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and glorified him. So here's an example of the fear being theistic, right? As opposed to fear being in ignorance, like that. So in other words, yeah, does that make sense? So within... You would probably have to take it those who are theistic and then divide these three, or those who are atheistic and then divide these three, right? In other words, you're going to have the animalistic who's just gross. You're going to have the sophisticated animalistic. You're going to have person on prana moy, and then you're going to have those who are, you know, philosophical and more, you know, dutiful, or, you know, seeing some higher ideals in the prana moy. So then you'll get all these things of duty, fear, desire, right? So that's the thing, is because it is an essential principle, it'll apply in all places. You know, then with those who are theistic, then they take shelter. Right? So depending upon the situation. Right? But ultimately the fear has that lower element, because why would you be fearful unless you're bodily conscious? Right? So if there's fear, that means the neophyte element. Madhyama means you're supposed to be beyond fear. Like that. I think it was Garga Muni. He had got somehow or another, I'm not sure what would be the appropriate term, but he had been, how you say? Obliged to come into a particular group of ruffians association by, how you say? means that were you could not refuse. Okay. Yes, okay. So in that situation, they were going to kill him. Okay. You know, that was their threat. Mm-hmm. But I think because he was so confident that, yeah, go ahead, you know, then they just left him alone. So then the word got back to Prabhupada that he had gotten captured and all these different things and what happened. And he asked, what was his response? What did he do? Mm-hmm. And when they told Prabhupada his response, when Gargamuni came back, Prabhupada gave him sannyas. Just on that. Because he said he's fearless. So that means you can preach. So that was, you know, something. So you know, therefore, fear generally be a symptom of the neophyte because they're fearful of what they have, losing it, right? The body, the senses, what's connected with the body, the facilities. That's where fear comes up. Because otherwise, if there's no fear of that, then, you know, one's taking shelter of the Lord because he is the shelter. Rather than, I take shelter and I'll get all this stuff. I take shelter, I'll move forward. Rather than, no, I'll take shelter and I'll maintain. So, but still, as pointed out, that's still potional. The Lord is maintaining that for the devotees. Because it's not according to your material karma. So the Lord is taking care out of his affection. You know, hoping that one day we'll actually come to the point of working on more on the affection. And if you continue the process in proper association, it will come to that. That's the beauty of the system, because it's natural for the living entity. They're back.
Mm-hmm.
Because of affection for the demons, Vishwaroop secretly supplied them the remnants of yajna. When Indra learned about this, he beheaded Vishwaroop, but he later regretted killing Vishwaroop because Vishwaroop was a brahmana. Right?
Because of that?
Huh?
Because of that?
It appears so. But at least he thinks that. Nowadays, it's like they're, you know, if they do something wrong, they weren't a brahmana in the first place. You give a dog a bad name and hang him. So, you know, someone does something that is in that brahminical position, then they do something wrong, then they're out, you know, because they were never a brahmin in the first place.
At least they're not killed. That's a bit.
Oh, it depends upon how you define kill. You know, because ruining reputation is the same. Right down. Okay. Although competent to neutralize the sinful reactions for killing a brahmin, Indra did not do so. Instead, he accepted the reactions. Later, he distributed these reactions among the land, water, trees, and women in general. Since the land accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions, a portion of the land turned into desert. The trees were also given 1/4 of the sinful reactions, and therefore they drip sap, which is prohibited for drinking. Because women accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions, they are untouchable during their menstrual period. Since water was also infested with sinful reactions, when bubbles appear in water, it cannot be used for any purpose.
Indra didn't neutralize the sinful reaction. He said that it's accepted, but he distributed the whole thing. So he didn't accept it.
He accepted it and then distributed it.
So it means he didn't neutralize, he accepted it, he didn't suffer, but he gave it to everybody else.
Well, it means they got something in return. Everyone got something that they wanted. But
lost? Or it was kind of...
it appears so. We'll see when it gets there. But basically, they asked. You know, it's known when these things are created, then what's their move. You know, just like Shastra will talk about the lion. You know, why the lion's the king? Because otherwise, you could say the tiger. Why not the tiger? Right? But the tiger will always sneak up on their prey. Or the lion will roar, challenge, and then go after. You know? So these things you only know from Shastra. So then the Shastra then will also define what the nature of these four and then what is their interest, and so therefore then.
Yeah, I was asking Indra, who distributed so freely.
He's very liberal. Come on, he's king of heaven. He has to be liberal.
They don't seem to react.
I'm just saying, people, it means if no one wanted to take it, then he wouldn't. You know.
Sharing is caring.
Yes. Yes.
Is this a good time to ask about maple syrup?
It's always
I can almost feel that, because the other ones, it's like, you know, it's like you can see when you go through this, you know, it's like when you go through, what do you call it? We call it, since the land accepted, you know, 1/4 the reaction as part of the desert. Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Yeah, trees were also given 1/4 the sin, and therefore the sip drop, which, okay, drip, okay, yeah. That, which is prohibited for drinking. Hey, wait a minute. You know, because women accepted 1/4 the sinful reaction there, that the atmosphere went like this, you know, and then the next water is that, huh? Yeah, who even cares bubbles. About water? Yeah. Does that mean my 7-Up you're not supposed to drink?
Suddenly the bottle goes back in the bag.
Put your 7-Up in a, what do you call it? A regular water, a Bisleri water bottle. Like that. Okay, no one can tell. Generally, that's why you see the sap is always cooked. You know, because you take the date ross or take the maple ross and you cook it into the sugary form. Yeah. So date ross, will cook it into the liquid and hard form. Most devotees only know the hard form, but they do have a liquid form. But maple syrup, somehow, traditionally, they always make it into the soft form, the liquid form. I don't know that they ever make maple syrup, I mean maple sugar. You know, they do. Maple but it's form. probably a little less known. You know, just like here, the liquid is less known than the solid is more. So when it's cooked, it's purified. So therefore, drinking the ross straight, you know, without that purification means it's for a medicinal purpose. So being a diuretic and things like that, it's very good for the kidneys and things like that. So if that's a problem, then you drink for that. If you're just drinking because you like, then that's not so great. But, you know, as a medicine, then it's... But otherwise, in other words, maple syrup is bona fide because it's been cooked. Still, you still have to offer it to the Lord. Oh. Okay. No. Well, you can drink it straight out of the bottle if you want, but you got a hip flask, you know. What you got in there? Maple syrup. Is he from Canada? You got it. Yeah. After Vishwarup was killed, his father, Tvashta, performed a sacrifice to kill Indra, King Indra. Unfortunately, if mantras are chanted irregularly, they yield an opposite result. This happened when Tvashta performed this yajna. While performing the sacrifice to kill Indra, Tvashta chanted a mantra to increase Indra's enemies, but because he chanted the mantra wrong, the sacrifice produced an asura named Vritrasura, of whom Indra was the enemy. Means they're the enemy of, how you say? Of Indra means they're going after Indra. Indra's their enemy, and Indra's going after them.
If you wanted to increase Indra's enemies... So
yes, Indra, so it means it would create problem for Indra and, you know, possibly get rid of Indra, because the enemy is going to go after Indra until they get rid of Indra. But Vritrasura wasn't Indra's enemy. Indra was his enemy, so Indra went after him until he killed him.
Yes.
Like that. So, does that make sense? And this was all over one syllable. We'll get to it later. That's the problem with the mechanical points of the Vedas, is that one syllable wrong, it just doesn't work.
Right. Huh. Why they pointed out that irregularly means he was not accustomed to those?
No. When we get to it, because I don't remember if it means short or long, it's a very technical Vedic point. Because see, this will be this the if you want to create a demon to kill Indra, that will be from Atharva Veda. That's not Rig Yajur or Sama. Those are going to be for, you know, worshiping Vishnu, glorifying the Lord. You know, through, you know, either understanding it directly or through the demigods. Atharva will be all your miscellaneous, right? So all the different things, you know, how to make your chariots, your warfare, you know, incantations for these kind of things. All that will be in Atharva. It's all the miscellaneous. So now Atharva Veda uses the same method of markings for the swaras, you know, the notes, and long and short, as the Rig Veda uses. Right? So they have in there something that the Yajurved, which we generally use for rituals, that you don't have, is that over a short letter there's a bar above it, which means that letter, even though it would normally be chanted at the middle note and chanted short, it's chanted at the higher note and chanted long. So he either took one and chanted it long, or it's supposed to be and he chanted it short. So he missed that. But it's a Vedic grammar. So devotees who learned, you know, how you say high school, well, actually grade school Sanskrit grammar, but you don't learn that until you get to university, so they think they're really good, then they argue this point that Prabhupada doesn't know what he's talking about. But actually, they're the kids on the block. Because this is Vedic Sanskrit, not classical, and not Moni or Williams. You know, because, I mean, what they teach you there is what kids learn. I mean, literally. And in India, when they teach Sanskrit, what the 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds are learning, that's what they teach in university. And so with that level of Sanskrit knowledge, you know, you can use the dictionary and do stuff, just like the kid who doesn't know much vocabulary and stuff or grammar can look in the dictionary and figure out a sentence. But you know what I'm saying? If someone had to use a dictionary for every sentence that they were doing in English, would we consider them very developed in English? No. So why would we consider them so scholarly in Sanskrit?
It's actually even worse because some of their explanations are off.
Oh, that's another thing, because Monier was paid to make them off. You know, so whatever it is. So that's a different thing. So the point is that the Vedic's another thing. So when Prabhupada says this is what it is, like that, despite, you know, despite the tendency to be smarter than one's guru, then... Here, the reality is, no, this is what it is. Does that make sense? So that's what we're meaning in the Vedic, is that you're doing a yajna that takes you, so, you know, a whole year, basically, to do. This will be quicker. But if one syllable's wrong, you get no benefit. That's the problem with karmakanda. While devotional service, even if you're chanting the name wrong, you still get the benefit. That's why we're saying it's such a superior system. So we just take it as ordinary. No, it's really... The qualifications to actually follow the Vedic are very high. We take it, oh, these are archaic. You know, because in the Western, archaic means it's something not very developed. You know, like Middle Ages or something. But in the Vedic, here, archaic means it goes back to the time when people were, you know, shutidars. They heard something once. They remembered it. They didn't have to write things down. You know, that's Vedic archaic. You know, it was better when it was seemingly worse, right? Right. Yeah. Okay. When Dhritarashtra was generated from the sacrifice, his fierce features made the whole world afraid, and his personal effulgence diminished even the power of the demigods. Right. So one you have is the power of Tvashta to do this, but you also have the power of Dhritarashtra, because he was a great devotee. So just on his own, he would be like this. It's just that Tvashta has performed this yajna so he could be the medium for manifestation. But actually, it's not that Tvashta produced his effulgence. He actually already came with that. Right? But they connect. You know, it's just like the parents, because the mentality, then they get a child that matches. But it's not that they produced the mentality. They attracted that mentality. Is that make sense? Yes.
Can we say that we, not produce, but we kind of nourish specific mentality?
By association you can do, but what you get in the beginning, what you're working with, that's just, they came with that. You happen to have a similar mentality, so then there's a match made. You know, I say, match made in heaven. Yes. But, you know, you know, hence storks and all that. And, you know, they come from higher up. I think I think kids are producing the clouds, right? And then they're put in that bundled up, and then the storks bring them down and deliver them.
We suck from the cabbages.
Cabbages?
And my parents used to say some rotten cabbages sometimes.
Rotten cabbages.
Okay.
Okay. Whether a nice fresh cabbage or a rotten cabbage. Okay. In any case.
That's close. Wasn't Sita baby? She was discovered in a field. She was found in a field.
Sita, I think she was in a lotus. No, Sita was in a lotus.
But was she? She wasn't in a lotus.
I can't remember.
No. That's true.
Yeah.
She was in the box. Because I think Ravana's mother, like that, saw her and understood this baby will destroy the whole, you know, dynasty. So then she had her assistants take the box and drop it somewhere. So then, in the field.
Radharani was on the lotus.
Radharani was on the lotus. Now I'm mixing up. Ravana was going somewhere. He saw Lakshmi performing austerities to get Vishnu as her husband or like that. And he became attracted. And then he went to her and touched her. And so then she just burnt herself to ashes. Yeah, and then he put that in the box and that was there. And then somehow or another, I can't remember how it is, and a lotus is somehow or another connected with that. But then afterwards she's in the box, and then she's put like that. There's some very subtle points. So in other words, he's been after Lakshmi from previous times, so it wasn't just this, it wasn't a one-off. Like that.
Nothing about cabbage.
Huh? Nothing about cabbages. Maybe that's farther up north, you know. So, it's, yeah, down farther, you know, within the tropics, it's lotuses or boxes or, you know, something like that. And up north, and it's cabbages.
It's not potato.
Yeah, it's not potato. Yeah. Finding no other means of protection, the demigods began to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the enjoyer of all results of sacrifice, who is supreme throughout the entire universe. So, in other words, they tried other methods. One is that naturally they'll try because it's, you know, their duties to manage the universe. But you notice that they don't remember the Lord until after their methods don't work. Right? So, therefore, the difference between the suras and asuras is both work on their own potency, but when their own potency fails, the demigods surrender to the Lord. The demons just make a new plan. Like that. So in other words, yeah, to put it into our own personal lives, then. One has one's plans, one's like that, one affects those plans, then one kind of gets to the middle of one's life. And in that time, looking at it and seeing how all one's plans never really worked, then one has a particular crisis in that moment, and then one can either follow the path of the demigods or the path of the demons. Right? The path of the demigods is vanaprastha, the path of the demons is open a consultancy.
Buy a Harley.
Buy a Harley, yes. Remarry. Yeah, I mean, there's many options. That's why there's so many planetary systems down there. Right? Like that. You know, so is that, so the principle remains. The demigods all worship him because ultimately no one but him can protect a living entity from fear and danger.
seeking shelter of a demigod instead of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead is compared to trying to cross the ocean by grasping the tail of a dog. Because they can't maintain it. They're being maintained by Krishna. So if therefore we take shelter of them, then we've really got problems. A dog can swim, but that does not mean one can cross the ocean by grasping a dog's tail. Right? It means the demigods can do something, but they can't save the living entity. Being pleased with the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advised them to approach Dadichi, to beg him for the bones of his own body. Dadichi would comply with the request of the demigods, and with the help of his bones, Vritrasura could be killed. Shloka Anusharana. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 10. Indra beheads Vishwarup and the subsequent reactions. 11 to 20. Tvashta produces Vritrasura. 21 to 27. The devatas worship the Supreme Lord for protection. 28 to 55. The Lord receives praise from the devatas and instructs them to approach Dadichi. Verses 1 to 10. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Vishwarup, who was engaged as the priest of the demigods, had three heads. He used one to drink the beverage somaras, another to drink wine, and the third to eat food. That way you don't have to worry about eating and drinking, as you could do with different heads at once. Yeah, you don't.
So Indra didn't kill him.
But probably one neck. O King Parikit, thus I have heard from authorities. Verse 1, Srila Prabhupada comments. One cannot directly perceive the kingdom of heaven, its king and other inhabitants, or how they perform their various engagements, for no one can go to the heavenly planets. Although modern scientists have invented many powerful space vehicles, they cannot even go to the moon, not to speak of other planets. By direct experience, one cannot learn anything beyond the range of human perception. One must hear from authorities. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, a great personality, says, "What I am describing to you, O King, is what I have heard from authoritative sources." This is the Vedic system. The Vedic knowledge is called Shruti because it must be received by hearing from authorities. It is beyond the realm of our false experimental knowledge. Right? So we're not saying you can't just try to experiment and do all this. We're just saying if you do that, you won't get any benefit. So you have to hear from authority. So the point is, anything's willing to be discussed why it's like that. Just the point is it's just why discuss on this platform of trying to use experimental knowledge to use the Lord. You can do it if you want, but it won't be successful. Right? Yes.
If you hear from authority and then to prove that, you experiment.
But you're based on authority. That works. Mm-hmm. That's the idea is that you hear from authority, therefore you should contemplate it and you should apply it. So contemplation is anuman, application is pratyaksha. So when you get when you actually see what you've heard, that means now your knowledge of that subject is complete. Is that something? Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O Maharaj Parikit, the demigods were related to Vishwarup from his father's side, and therefore he visibly offered clarified butter in the fire while chanting mantras such as Indraya Idam Swaha. This is meant for King Indra. And Idam Agnaye, this is for the demigod of fire. He loudly chanted these mantras and offered each of the demigods his proper share. Although offering clarified butter in the sacrificial fire in the name of the demigods, without the knowledge of the demigods, he also offered oblations to the demons because they were his relatives through his mother. Right. So in other words, performing duties, he'll follow the father's nature. But then there's going to be that other side, that's going to be the mother. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that. So the spirit of the father, but the, you know, that underlying element of the mother. Right? For the boy, right? Girl will be the opposite. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Paroksham means that he offered some oblations to the demons in a low voice so that the devatas would not notice. Offering that share, he had them obtain it. Avahat.
Sri Sukh.
Just the last point, the boy takes the nature of the father, but the mood of the mother has
it? No, it's the other way.
The other way, okay.
Yeah. So the in other words, it's the nature of the mother, the spirit of the father.
Yes.
So therefore, you know, that mood, that element of the demigod should be the ones controlling, you know, that's not a problem for him. But at the same time, as, you know, the home thing is going to be, you know what I'm saying, the demons. Because that's the mother's side. So there's going to be that affection. Just like he's saying with Arjuna. Then you have Drona, you know, as the acharya, the teacher, like that, from the Varna side. But then you have Bhishma from the ashram side, the family. So duty and family. Right? That makes sense. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, "Once upon a time, however, the king of heaven, Indra, understood that Vishwarupa was secretly cheating the demigods by offering oblations on behalf of the demons." Right? The demigods were getting all their offerings. He wasn't giving them anything short. He was just adding to that the others. So for Indra's view, the demons shouldn't be nourished in any way. So therefore, he'll consider it cheating rather than just, no, it's a family thing, so he's taking care of that. But the demigods are going to get the full benefit, and they're going to, you know, everything's going to go nice for them.
Mm-hmm. So it means Indra, he's the king of heaven, means he's not the king of the whole three planets.
Yes, but as long as they stay in their planetary systems, you know, like that. So you get, you know, their main people coming and going and stuff like this. But as long as that order is maintained, it works. But if they get out of the how do you say, if they become upwardly mobile, then there's a problem.
So he was afraid of that.
He's worried that they'll get more power, therefore they'll all come back, and so he's cheating them, he's protecting them, but at the same time he's giving them power. But he's just doing it just to nourish, because they're family. Not necessarily from that they'll become... He's not doing it so they'll become powerful and then come and take over the demigods, because why would he? His father's a demigod. He could have asked, but being Indra, and he tends to work a bit in passion, sliced first and then asked questions. Yes.
But still, Vishwarupa is in the wrong. These are dishonest.
That's there, but at the same time, as that's what Brahma said. If you can tolerate that, then everything. But Indra's already been told.
Yeah.
In other words, Brahma already knows that's his nature. The point is they wanted to know how they can get back the kingdom and situate themselves and be maintained, because he's talking about worship of Guru will do all that for them. So therefore, then he's recommended him. So it means he's qualified to do that, but you have to tolerate that he does have this inclination towards the demons. There's a mother's side. But the point is it'll be from that, but his mother is married to his father, so she'll be practicing the lifestyle and everything of the demigods. You know, she'll be living in the higher planets, not in the lower planets. But because there's relatives connected, he'll be offering something for them. Technically, yes, he shouldn't be doing it, but he was told that he does do this. You know? Yeah, so from that point, then you can't really fault that part, because that's just his habit. Yeah. You know, if they discuss don't do this and he does it anyway, that's another thing, but it wasn't discussed.
Sadhu sometimes they do something beyond the normal attitude. Like Narada Muni, you know, when Hiranyakashipu was in power, he even threatened him.
That means, what else should you do?
I mean, why does your sadhu have to threaten a demon?
He doesn't have to, it's just etiquette. He thinks he's special, so you deal with him as special.
Is it like cheating?
That's just etiquette. Have you ever been to any kind of official kind of program that's involving all karmis?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you know, possibly connected with the university. Yeah? Okay. Now, of all the different people that will be there, because they'll all be either academics or administrators, right?
Yeah.
Now, in meeting them, you all go around and you shake hands and you smile and make some comments, and right? Do any of them think themselves more important than they actually are? Okay. Do you still deal with them properly? Why? Are you cheating? Or is it just etiquette? So, that's what Narad Muni said. Yeah, but how can you compare your, professors with Hiranyakashipu? You know, okay, maybe they have all the students and staff, you know, trembling when they raise their eyebrow. Or, can you compare yourself to Haridas Thakur, so therefore you don't chant Hare Krishna? If you can't compare, why are you making judgment? If I can't compare to him, why would I judge? You could judge yourself. Am I cheating? You know, Narad Muni is then being nice, but why? You know, he's bringing, you know, so the Lord comes. You know, you're being nice, then, you know, Krishna will manifest there at the university. No, you'll just keep your job, right? You know, yeah. You know, because you have your job, then you can take care of your family and you can be Krishna conscious. Therefore, you follow etiquette. He's following etiquette that's just how you deal with demons. You're nice. Yes.
It's like when Prahlad Maharaj calls his father, "O best among the demons." His heart is just so warm.
Yes, yes. It's just,
My son.
Yes, yes. Yeah, but it does work. Yeah. Sometimes if the father identifies with these qualities, even though they're low, you use them in an affectionate way, then it's seen as something very nice. Okay? Yeah, so, yeah, you leave Narad Muni out of this. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premadi.